fun gallery. It was all an accident. I came to New York to be an actress. It's always a good sign, you know, move to the cheapest place you can find, and that's where you're going to find all the artists and people that you're going to want to work with. So I ended up moving over to the East Village in early 1975. And this was when no one was moving to the East Village. But as it turned out, the local bar was CBGB's and Talking Heads and Blondie were the house bands. I did probably 14 independent, very independent movies. My first movie was Unmade Beds, and Blondie was the star. And I felt I had arrived. I was already a celebutante by the time I did meet Fab Five Freddy, who's the person that is responsible for bringing hip-hop to the world. There's no doubt about that. You have to understand, in 1980, no one downtown knew anything about graffiti art, rap music, or b-boying. All eyes lyrical, all eyes divisible, all identical, quote, fly, presentable. It's been a minute since I stepped in it. Let me finish. Well, okay, like all of a sudden then graffiti and, you know, hip-hop and everything was everywhere. And it was really interesting, too, because at that time it still was happening in the streets. Everybody had the big boom boxes, and so that's how you would hear the new music and the jams, where people would bring their cassette tapes that they had recorded uptown downtown, and everybody would just be hanging out on the street, and the guys would play the new tapes, the new music through their boom boxes, and then the graffiti art started covering the East Village entirely. We started paying attention to the trains. So I got to know Futura and Zephyr and Dondi, and then when they found out with me they could get into any club in town to the VIP room, I became quite popular. So something that's kind of a show of respect, and it still goes on today, is that in that community, you offer a gift. And so Futura offered me a painting. Well, at the time, I was living on East 3rd Street, which we called Street of the Stars, because a number of the downtown stars lived on that street because they were city apartments that were $65 a month because they were right across from the men's shelter. So I said, well, you know, Futura, and I had learned by this time as well that a mural is more prized than a painting, because the mural is just yours and it cannot be bought or sold. So I said, you know what, Futura, I have a great idea. Why don't you do a mural on the front of my crumbling $65 apartment in the front room on the wall, and then in the afternoon we'll have an art opening and barbecue. So he thought that was a great idea. He did the mural. Kenny Scharf, I had met him. He and Keith Haring had come to go to School of Visual Arts. By this time there was like a second wave of people who had come to the East Village because they knew something was going on. When we were there, we just went over there. It was like a bomb zone. We just went there because it was cheap. They went there because it was cheap and there was something happening. So anyway, I had met Kenny, and so he had started doing this artwork called Van Chroming, which meant that he did like all kinds of little day glow doodads all over your appliances. He really loved vacuum cleaners. So he would like decorate everything. So he did my blender and my alarm clock and my toaster. Futura did the mural, and I made potato salad and ribs. And in the afternoon, we had the art opening and barbecue. Keith Haring, Dondi, Jean-Michel Basquiat, Kenny, Fun Gallery artist Stephen Kramer, Futura, of course. A number of people just, you know, came, and it was a big success. And Keith Haring looks out the window, like an afternoon, you know, the bombs are all sitting on the garbage cans. He looks out the window and he goes, ah! So we all run over to the window. Jeffrey Deitch and Diego Cortez are getting out of a cab in front on East 3rd Street. They're weaving their way through the bombs. We're like, dang. And so that was a big success. And then the next thing that happened was Bill Stelling, who I had known from the Mud Club, said, "Patty, you know, I've fixed up this little space on East 11th Street as a gallery. Do you know any artists?" I said, "Yes, I know a lot of artists." So I was getting pretty tired of picking up the beer bottles at my apartment by this time because it had become this huge party spot. So Stephen Kramer actually was our first artist, and he came up with 20 colored penciled drawings. And so we were so broke that we just like cut the mats ourselves, and then we had them shrink wrapped in plastic like record albums, stuck them all up on the wall, turned on the boombox, did some daiquiris in the old Kenny Scharf Rand Chrome blender, and sold all 20 drawings for $50 in one day, which was $1,000 in 1981. Wasn't too shabby. We were the first gallery in the East Village, but the activity was incredible. Everyone was running around. I mean, I was still doing the movies. Everybody was, you know, be running around on the streets carrying canvases, guitars. The walls were crumbling, but they just became this giant outdoor canvas. And things were still very cheap then. I mean, our rent for the Fun Gallery was, I mean, granted, was 8 feet by 25. You know, things were still very Wild West down there. And our rent for the gallery was $125. I have absolutely no art training other than, you know, going on my own to museums, of course, and so on. When I first started getting into the films, we would want to go down to Soho, first of all, because we wanted to see the Warhol stars. We just went along for the parties and the free drinks, so we're fine. But the scene in Soho was just so, I mean, it was the whole, I don't know, second go-round of abstract expressionism. Very white, very male-oriented, very, you know, this ponderous art school stuff that was just so boring. So we thought, well, we're going to change all that. We're going to make this an artist gallery, and the artists can do what they want, and we can do what we want, and we don't have to pay attention to those people. My partner, Bill Stelling, by the way, said, well, we're even going to let the artists name the gallery. And so Kenny came up with Fun Gallery. And that was just so stupid. After that, we just let it stick. Since the place was so small, our first year, we could only have one-man shows. And we never set out to be a graffiti gallery. We just gave shows to all of the people that were in this community that we thought really had talent. So we also included Stephen Kramer, Arch Connolly, as well as, you know, the graffiti greats, Dondi, Fab Five, Futura. But every artist was treated just as an independent artist, and we were actually the first gallery to give graffiti artists one-man shows, to identify them as separate talents. Because usually they were just in these big smoosh piles. Oh, it's graffiti art. And we were the first gallery to do that, and I think we're very proud of that. And I also think that the thing that we did was we opened up the art world to everyone. No more white wine, white walls, white people. The other thing that I saw is when I went to high school, public high school in Cincinnati, Ohio, I mean, we had all kinds of art classes. I wasn't even that interested in music. I had my own viola to take home. And these kids, the culture had given up on them, and they knew it. At the time, and I think that also we have to talk about back in 74, the great Afrika Bambaataa formed the Zulu Nation to give these kids something else to do, to feel that they were valued, that drugs gangs, death, or jail not their only options. But if you were going to count on the society to do it for you, that was not going to happen. So we created our own cultures. We were jammed. I mean, we were only open on Sundays from 3 to 6 to start out with, so it wasn't too hard to, like, pack the house. But the openings, I mean, people were sick of it. They were sick of these bombastic, empty, huge, money-making things. They needed a breath of fresh air. I think that the exchange was really great, and I think that what I'm most proud of with the Fun Gallery is, well, my quote is, I wanted everybody who walked through that door to feel, yes, I can make a difference here. I met Jean-Michel Basquiat. He was just hanging out. I didn't know who he was. And I ran into him on the steps going up to the VIP room of the Mud Club. And I was just teasing him about his weird hairdo. And later on, I found out that he was really a genius. There was a very famous art show at the Mud Club. Keith Haring had been given the opportunity to curate the fourth floor of the Mud Club as a gallery. And he asked Fab Five and Futura to curate a show. And they did a show called Beyond Words. And that show is so historic because that was the real melding of downtown and uptown. You have people like Alan Vega showing next to Futura and Fab Five Freddy. Afrika Bambaataa was the DJ, and that was the first time he had ever performed downtown. And Jean-Michel just had these drawings, and one of them was Flats Fixed, and I'll never forget it. I just said, this guy's a genius. So many, many moons later, Jean-Michel was treated very poorly in Soho, let's just put it that way. The art world was still, despite our efforts of peace, love, and unity at the Fun Gallery, was very racist still. And he was pretty much exploited and realized that. And so we negotiated his kind of return to the hood with his show at the Fun Gallery. The paintings were so beautiful, and it's recognized as his best show ever. You know, as I said, we were the first gallery in the East Village, and 4 years later, there were probably 70 galleries. You know, people saw that we were a business, you know, that we were successful. I don't know how they saw that, because we never made any money, but anyway, they knew that there was money to be made, and so people just were charging in there, sort of the third generation of people who came in there, and renovating these tenement storefronts with the track lighting, the white walls, and they were bringing in white wine and white people. I just couldn't handle it. It's always better to leave the party before it's over. Really planned to have a gallery in the first place. I really wanted to get back to my movie career. And then Fun Gallery was never a business. Fun Gallery was a movement, it was a family, it was a state of mind. Why should it last? Just like my Black Panther brother said, you know, you gotta seize the time. We move on. We can move on. You know, there's always another frontier to conquer. The most important thing was that we opened the art world up to everyone, and not only just the art world, but to a whole culture that was just about to be lost. And now hip hop and what we created is worldwide. ¶¶